You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for the first day of the new trading week, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow with Skalk Lowe today. Someone I haven't spoken to for around about 3.5 years, and Skalk is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in Cape Town. Skalk, it's lovely to hear from you again. How have you been? How's the market been treating you for the last 3.5 years?
Hey, I've got a hell of a lot better things than the market over the past 6 months. But I must say, I've been great. I'm a fellow world champion. So, yes, going well.
Very good indeed. Let's have a look at what's happened on the JSE today. Not a particularly good start to the week. I mean, I think it all started with a little bit of, we've been so used to internationally the trade wars, which go from feast to famine, if you see what I mean, but also some nasty stuff going on in the Far East, in Hong Kong specifically, which put the Far Eastern markets under pressure. So a little bit of a soggy start to the week, Skalk.
No, extreme blue Monday. And like you mentioned, it's sort of this trade war that one moment is they're going to have to find a solution, next moment there's no solution. And I think this uncertainty currently is just getting to us all. And I mean, then we're heading into silly season. I mean, and let's not get it wrong, even with in a positive market like the US, I mean, they're also heading in silly season. So I reckon it's now that time of the year.
Yeah, it is. December's traditionally quite a good month for stock markets, but we just don't know these days as we come into, what is it now? It's the 11th of the 11th, so we're near mid-November, so we've only got a few weeks now until December. Anyway, but let's not talk about that. Let's talk about what's happened today, because there's been quite a few announcements from JSE-listed companies on the Stock Exchange News Service. The first one that came out this morning was Vodacom. I've been speaking to David Shapiro about that in the last hour or so. What is your view on Vodacom, these results that came out? What does PSG Wealth say about this?
Well, in general, I think it's a sweet and sour type of thing. And I think when you look at the revenue of pretty much 4%, it's expected. It's fairly flat. I mean, the 19% or 18.9% growth in HEPS, and that's due to a once-off BE cost. So, I mean, in general, I don't think it's a bad result. It's in general, it's a good result. Solid dividend is going to come through. And I think it's there's some signs that there's some, I mean, little things that they mentioned inside that, you know, South Africa is slowly but surely, the regulatory environment, the environment in general is looking not too bad. I mean, so in general, not great results, but also not too bad.
Are you a Vodacom subscriber?
I am indeed so.
How many have you got? How many accounts have you got? Because I was speaking to someone this morning who said he's got three different accounts. So therefore, the 2.7 million new subscribers in South Africa that they signed up. I mean, it's not 2.7 million new people. It's 2.7 million new accounts. And there's a distinction there.
Well, Lindsay, I'm currently watching the series Breaking Bad. So I'm going to really go with, I've only got one account for my wife that's listening. I'm definitely only got one account. But from a company perspective, I mean, yes, we've seen a growth in that area. And that has come through. I mean, the revenue clearly has shown. Because remember, I mean, if you look at Vodacom and also MTN, if you look at over the past 2-3 years, I think the most important term, you know, was that hashtag data must fall. I mean, so yes. There's been an environment where we cost, I mean, there was a big spotlight on the cost and data cost and call cost. So you've got to, you know, look at the environment that they were in and also how they've actually grown their revenue still by 4%. Tell us that they've done the right things.
Okay, it's becoming a utility. It's gone X growth, we know that. But anyway, a respectable set of numbers and the share price doing very little today. It was down nearly 3%, I think, on the opening, but it's it closed more or less flat. Other companies coming out today, and you can just say, Lindsay, we don't follow these ones if you want to, but Rebosis Property Fund, they came out with some numbers, share price flat. Robex came out with their results as well for the 6 months ended 31st of August. Also numbers showing a flat share price, or rather engendering a flat share price. Do you follow either of those two?
Well, I'm not invested in either of the two, but let's touch on Railbox, because that's an interesting one, and it's sort of falling in that mid cap small cap range of companies that has recently come out with fairly good results. I mean, in this case, I mean, the results EPS increasing 64%. I mean, it's been good, solid results. Yeah, there's good reason. I think very very encouraging in the feedback to me. Was you know, how they said, we are encouraged by the substantial increase in tender activity.
That's interesting.
Yes, very interesting. And remember, if we turn back the clock, let's call it a month and a half ago, when we looked at Wilson Bailey Holmes' results, similar type of message that came through. Yes, we have this boo-boo in Australia, but locally, I mean, there's a few tenders that's coming through, and locally we are seeing a bit of an uptick in local investments, or more specifically, local. So Robux, I think it's just when you look at the liquidity in that company, it is just flat. So, I mean, that typically is again playing into this SA Inc. play that's really totally lost interest. I mean, if you have that amount of, let's call it, foreign net outflows, which we've seen pretty much in October again, you know, third biggest outflows which we've seen in 15 years, then you need quite a bit of substantial, you know, buying power to help these companies out. So I think that's a company that I definitely would put on my list as a to-do. I mean, definitely have a look at it.
Good. Okay, let's have a look at Aspen. Aspen sold its Japanese interest, and it was announced. It's been flagged, obviously, but it was announced today officially, and I think they received 6.6 billion rand for that. And the share price responding very, very nicely. Thank you very much. I think up around about 4%, Skulk.
At last. I mean, this is a company, and I think when you look at the companies, you know, locally, this must be one of the most spoke about company over the last, let's call it, 12 to 18 months.
Yes.
And I mean, I think the most, you know, the biggest worry around Aspen always has been their debt levels. I mean, they are spiraling into these debt levels. And when you get these type of announcements, you know, of a nice cash injection, I think this is a good sign, a step in the right direction. Because remember, Aspen has always been a very well-managed company. Great story, great South African story. And I think this is, to me, is a very, very positive direction move in the right direction.
Yes, hope so. I mean, that ridiculous price of, I think it was in the 60s at one stage. I don't know if that was a finger falter, if it was just an algo trade or something, but it looks a bit silly now when the share price is, what, 117, 118. It's a long way away from its highs, but also a long way away from its lows. So hopefully it can now consolidate, pay off some of that debt with the 6.5 billion they've just received, and move on to what they're good at, which is, it's still
focus.
A good company. They just got ahead of themselves, that's all. I mean, we know that.
That's it.
I was talking last week to, I can't remember who it was, I think it was two people on one of the 5 o'clock shadows. And I said, if I was a really sort of steamy investor, I would have a look at two companies that have been completely beaten up. One was PPC and the other one was ArcelorMittal. And I said, just put them away, just have a little nibble at them and put them away for a few years. And I noticed that ArcelorMittal today came out with something, and look at it, it's up 11%. And I think if there's a turnaround in the South African economy, then both of these companies are so beaten up, you might get a 5 or 6 or 10 bagger over the next few years.
No, correct. I mean, PPC is one of those very cyclical type of companies. And you know, typically where you get these type of numbers where, okay, I know Robex is into roads, but when you get these type of numbers coming from Wilson Bailey Holmes, your Robex type of companies, that is just, again, telling you to put those PPCs back onto the radar. Yes. ArcelorMittal, I think that's an interesting story. I think that's one for the playbook. And when I say playbook, that's for the Eskom playbook.
Yes.
It's what to do when things don't work. I mean, this Saldanha Works, they said the main reason why they're closing it down is the fact that it's not competitive anymore. It doesn't have a competitive cost advantage, and they're closing it down. And I think that's a very important point and a very important message to shareholders out there, that, you know, we are running a business, and when this business does not make sense, we close it down.
The market loves it. The unions may not, but certainly market participants really, really do. What about multi-choice? I mean, you're far too brainy to watch television. You probably read books every night or something. You probably watch the odd World Cup final here and there. But Multi-Choice Group Limited, their numbers came out today, and it's closed flat.
Well, as expected. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, we were talking about all these you know, possible, you know, next flavor of the month recovery stories. MultiChoice is sort of that cash cow. It's got the numbers locally. They're trying to build a market in the rest of Africa, but I mean, with all due respect, it's going to take some time. But, you know, let me tell you a secret. Don't tell anyone, Lindsay.
No one's listening. Don't worry. Tell me the secret. Yes. Go on.
I'm a bit of a closet multi-choice, you know, lover. Because although I'm not currently investing, look at what has happened globally. If you look at, you know, we first had the Netflix story, then something, you know, we said, well, what are the companies that is currently, you know, looking interesting in that type of space, let's call it Netflix, Showmax, well, not Showmax, but that type of space. And MultiChoice has got, you know, pretty much the dominant player currently, you know, specifically in the southern part of Africa in that space. And I like what they're doing. I like the fact that how they, you know, changing their focus to a pretty much dish orientated. If you, let's just take, you know, turn the clock back to 2 years ago. If you wanted Mnet, you needed to go to a retailer, buy a dish, get somebody to come and install this thing. And that's where we were. Nowadays, more people are actually following these DSTV Now, Showmax. And I think they can focus on that area, which clearly show that they're going to do that. I think the numbers are going to start stretching. I mean, what is the alternative we currently got? So a lot of people say, well, yeah, I don't know what. You know, look at the possible competition. Well, go and do your calculation. Go and see what a typical UK product similar to that will cost you. I mean, we're still sitting with a pretty good product in MultiChoice.
Yes, it is a pretty good product, but it will have to reinvent itself, I think. I mean, obviously, it's playing in a different type of market than Netflix is in the United States and Europe and Far East and other so-called developed world countries. So you can't really compare, but yeah, I think it will have to reinvent itself in
the
future.
They've already got the numbers. I think that's where we need to just remember, you know, for other companies to come into South Africa and just take that numbers. I mean, a lot of people say, well, Netflix is a substitute. It's not yet. I mean, if you've gone through the playlist, I mean, that's it. Again, I'm not a movie watcher or a series watcher. Like I said, I start watching Breaking Bad. You know, how far behind I am. Next is Game of Thrones for me.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You're that far behind, are you? Top five major movies. Let me give you the market data so we can have a look and see what's happening outside of the JSE and see what the Rand is doing. It's a little bit better than it was, but it's essentially flat on the day. Dollar Rand is 14.86, British Pound against the Rand 19.13, and the Euro Rand is 16.40, with the Euro Dollar 110.30, that dollar just creeping its way higher against the European currency. The gold price is, it was up a bit this morning. It's now 14.55, which is down $4 per ounce. It's now almost $100 off its highs of around about 2.5 months ago, which isn't good news from my point of view. Anyway, platinum is down $8 to $8.79. The palladium price, I haven't got it actually, but I'll give you the crude oil price, $62.95, which is unchanged on the day. That's Brent crude in London. The Dow Jones, it's down 100 odd points, or 0.4%. The S&P is down 0.3%. The Nasdaq also around about 0.3% weaker. The FTSE in London down 0.6%. So, yeah, it's one of those sort of soggy days, as I said in the introduction. What do you think of the US markets?
We need to look at it. Well, I would say be very careful. And let's just look at put this in perspective. I mean, we are nearing the end of reporting season. Last figure that I had, we just shy of 500 companies that's reported. So and well, let's call it 75% of the companies managed to outperform consensus expectations. So that's a good thing. That's why we've seen these new highs. You need to ask yourself the question now, what's the way forward? If you look at now, consensus going forward now 3 and 6 months ahead, they do see, you know, feel like going to see, you know, not, I mean, because remember, even the fact that they've outperform expectations, the earnings were still flat. We'll be still looking at down 0.8%. So it hasn't been positive. It is this time of the year. That's going to be interesting looking at the December figures. I wouldn't be necessarily buying in the dips currently.
Yeah, it is looking a little bit long in the tooth, isn't it? But we've been saying that, or I've certainly been saying it for years and years now. 4 years ago, it was long in the tooth, and it's getting longer. Those teeth really do need to be filed down a little bit. Top five major
moves. Even a broken clock is right twice a day. So let's just Let's just stick to that one. Okay. Anyway, no, I think in general, I mean, it's positive. I mean, there's very good reason. Let's just put it out there. I mean, we're not trying to call tops here. I mean, the results that's coming through, if we can turn this clock back to December last year. I mean, I looked at what, you know, the forecast was for this coming year. We came out of a very horrible December. And suddenly we were looking at single figures type of earnings forecast for 2019, which now has been surpassed and is looking good. So there's very good reason for the run we had. Mm. But now you need to be very careful. This is the market where you need to, where sanity needs to prevail.
Okay. Top five major moves to the upside. We've already spoken about Aspen up 4%, Hammerson up 2%, Capco, again in that UK property space, up nearly 2% as well. Assor up 1.8%. British American Tobacco up 1.5%. On the downside, Sibania down 3 2/3. Royal Bafokeng down 3.2%. Mr. Price down 2.9%. ShopRite, another retailer, down 2.75%. We've got retail sales coming out on Wednesday, I think it is, from South Africa. And Impala Platinum also down 2.75%. Any stories there of those stocks that we haven't already spoken about, Skulk?
Well, I think your property stocks at the top is quite an interesting one. If you look at, I mean, we just alluded to or touched on the reporting season in the US. Just for interest sake, I mean, the best performing sector in this reporting season was the healthcare sector. So that's, you know, surprise, surprise, came off a very, you know, bad low. But the second best performing sector in this reporting season was the property sector. Very nice growth coming out of that sector. And with the current yields, you can start seeing the interest globally in that sector. So, I mean, I'm not surprised to start seeing some interest locally as well. So, yes, get a yield, Hammerson's, Capco's, that's the international ones. But also recent results coming from Redefine weren't that bad. And then if you look at the yields, current 12-13% yields compared to your prime rate of 10%. I must say that's a sector that I definitely will be watching over the next 3 months. It's been lagging. It's had a horrible 18 months. But, you know, somewhere along the line, you need to just be calm and say, well, what is the way forward?
Skulk, give us the closing JSE indices and the volume, if you would, please.
So the current, if you look at the top 40 index, top 40 index is down 0.85%. Industrial is not looking a hell of a lot better. It's down 0.93%. The mid-cap space, the area that really did very well in October, is now giving a little bit back. That is down just over 1%. Small caps are fairly unchanged. So that's looking good. Financials, only down 0.5%. That's, you know, adding to what you just said on the rant, looking a lot stronger. Resources taking the biggest hiding. It's 1.1% down. Industrials down 0.8%.
Okay, my quote of the day comes from Nikki Haley, who's the ex-US ambassador to the United Nations, who's just published a book. And it's a very, very interesting reviews coming out about it. I can't work out whether she's pro or against Mr. Trump and whether she is trying to forge her way into a new political career. But anyway, I'm just looking at a quote that was attributed to her way before this book was published, which was 24 hours ago. It says here, some people think that you have to have the loudest voice in the room to make a difference. This is just not true. Often the best thing we can do is turn down the volume. When the sound is quieter, you can actually hear what someone else is saying, and that can make a world of difference. Maybe just having a little bit of a go at her former boss, President Donald J. Trump. That was the 5 o'clock shadow. And it was populated by myself and, of course, the portfolio manager from PSG Wealth by the name of Skulk Lowe. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox.